All right, Wolfram, how are you doing?
Oh, hi, Charles. I'm doing fine.
Excellent.
I'm in Hawaii. Couldn't be nicer than that.
Yes.
See my t-shirt here.
Very nice. So we're at the International Conference for Software Engineering.
Yeah.
And we're doing some conversations with your peers, computer scientists, and this is the next in the series. So what's going on? Who are we dealing with today?
Yeah. Hi, Charles. I'm here with Andreas Zeller. He chairs the software engineering department at the University of Saarbrücken, and his theme is that he really understands debugging,
nice.
Something that we have to do all the time since we never get our programs right the first time.
True. So, I mean, it's actually a big problem. I mean,
Yeah, I think as we are probably spending, I don't know, everybody from us spends 20-30% in the debugger. And there was very little research going on in the debugging space until Andreas came along and had actually some great ideas that go back probably 15 years. And maybe we can ask Andreas, how did he actually find out to work on debugging? What was it that, in some sense, drove the research for you?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, when I was still young, I actually spent dozens of hours in front of the computer programming, I realized that actually I didn't spend so much time programming, I spent so much time debugging. Mm. And the bad thing was that since I never had any formal training in debugging, I don't think any one of us ever had, or I don't think anyone ever get some formal training in debugging. I started digging into these bugs and accumulating more and more material and just keeping it all up in my head, and I never was able to stop until the bug was fixed. And this, of course, meant, well, debugging is essentially a search problem. You're searching for a bug, so you never know how long it's going to take. And in particular, you think, well, this should be totally easy to fix, but then it isn't. But at this point, you already have digged down into the problem, and it's impossible to stop you. It's not really as if you were addicted to something. It's just that you have all these facts in your head, and as soon as you get interrupted with anything, you lose them all. So I easily spent until 4 a.m., 5 a.m. in the morning doing debugging. And at the end, of course, sure, when you see the morning sun coming up and everything, you feel like a big hero. You slaughtered the bug. How cool this is and everything. It's a macho thing, of course. Yeah, I spent 36 hours doing it. I spent 36 hours in searching for the bug, and I found it. Whoops, I slaughtered it. I'm done. Okay, but the thing is... But then later I was in a stable relationship. Later I had a family and everything. And there's no point in working till early morning or something just to find a bug. It's actually much, much better if you work from say 9 to 5, 9 to 6, or if you're at Microsoft, say from 9 to 7 sometimes. But,
Ouch.
But in general, you'd like to have some more control over the progress of your work,
yeah.
And that's how I realized that debugging is actually, well, not only do we spend so much time on it, but the bad thing is really that you cannot predict how much time is going into debugging. Yeah.
So I think that resonates with me quite a lot. So I recall that maybe 12, 15 years ago, you had a great idea that then became known as Delta debugging. So, can you shortly report on it? Because I think it also got the Test of Time Award, so it probably started your career. What was the insight that made it work?
Delta debugging came from two sources. So, at first, I was doing my PhD thesis at the time on configuration management, version control. And it was a time when modern version control systems weren't as elaborate as they are today. So we thought about new models of organizing versions and everything. And my PhD thesis was on version control with description logics. Why description logics, you ask? Because my advisor said so. Okay, so I'm doing that, and I'm finishing my thesis, and here I come. Okay, we can do version management with description logics, which probably nobody will ever do, but it was a fun model. But then I realized, well, that's probably going to be useless. So I wanted to do something useful, And with a student of mine, Dorothea Lütkehaus at the time, we built a debugger that would come up with automatic visualization of data structures. That was a DDD at the time, where you could just double click on some data structure and it would automatically expand the tree and everything. It was nice to see, and it actually was useful. It helped people a lot. It also was one of the very first programming tools that came with a graphical user interface. Also one of the most elaborate debuggers at the time. It actually would then later became GNU-DDD, so it became adopted by Richard Stallman. So, and this is actually what I did for maybe the first 6 months after finishing my PhD thesis. So at this time, I was acquainted with version control and had a solution which didn't really work. And I got acquainted with debugging, which was a real problem, but my solution was just a standard solution in a way. So it was still an ordinary debugger with breakpoints and step, and if you step too far, well, there you go. And so I thought, well, maybe there's a way to come up with this. So I was already used in thinking in versions, because that's what I was trained for my PhD thesis, and I thought about, isn't there a way we can leverage these version archives for debugging, or these version histories for debugging? And a totally simple mechanism that came to my mind immediately was, well, what you could do, for instance, if you have an automated test that checks whether the error is there or not, you could simply go and check find out the precise moment in time when the bug occurs for the first time. So simply by going from one version after another, go through version one, test, yeah. Is the bug there? No, it's not there. Next version, is the bug there? No, it's not there. Then go for the next version, oh, it's there. Great, you found the precise moment in time, and so you know when the bug has been introduced. I thought, that's a fun thing, let's go and build this. And well, given the tremendous complexity of that thing, it took me less than an afternoon to build it. And it worked, but then came the problem. The problem was that these individual changes, as you have them in the version history, can easily encompass 1,000 or 10,000 of lines. Yeah. If you're with Microsoft, you're used to big merges. If you merge in millions of lines, then you get a single change with a million of lines. And what the wonderful technique which I just described tells you, well, on this day, after you introduce this million lines, then you had a bug. Okay, that's not going to be as helpful as you thought. It wasn't as helpful as I thought. In particular, well, I did this on the version archive of the GNU debugger at the time, and indeed there were changes there, several 10,000 lines. Oops, there you go. So I had to come up with something that would work even when the local change history was no longer present, when you simply had this big set of lines without any temporal ordering. And then and that's actually interestingly enough, it took me that was a problem that took me half a year, or I think it's even 9 months. I worked for 9 months on coming up with a good solution for that. Hmm. And the solution I came up with in the very end is essentially what you call delta debugging. Well, I called it delta debugging too. Is what I call delta debugging, which is in essence a binary search. So it takes a set of changes, splits them into two halves, and checks whether the error is still there, and keeps on splitting these. Unfortunately, a simple binary search is not enough, because a change may be composed out of multiple lines that need to be changed together. And this is the twist that took me so long to come up with. So I generalized binary search such that it would not split the set into two halves, but in four quarters, and eight parts, and 16 parts, and so on, and then reassemble them. And this is the algorithm that eventually became known as delta debugging. Wow. And after 9 months, the algorithm was there. It was five lines in a mathematical description functional program. It was 30 lines of Python implementation. That was after 9 months. You come up with these 30 lines, and I said, okay, this is nice, and it worked really well. So I applied this to bugs which were introduced by these 100,000 of lines, and lo and behold, it would isolate the single line that would generate the bug. So I had a very nice bug for GDB, which actually was triggered by a comment by a comment in GDB that was that there was a bug that was triggered that there was a help text that was hard coded into the GDB code, and by changing a single wording in that you would actually alter the external behavior of GDB. And that's the change that that's the change that Delta Debugging easily isolated. Well, easily, that's another thing. The early versions took took a week to isolate that. The later versions, eventually, I was able to bring that down to less than an hour, and that's just perfect. And as long as it works overnight, I'm perfectly happy. Anything that, any technique that's automated is fine, as long as I can start it in the evening and get the results the next morning.
Yeah, you can go home.
I can go home. Exactly. Rather than fighting with the bug all night long, I can go home, play with the kids, come back in the morning, and see.
I think that's the smart computer scientist. They let actually the computers work with the details. Figure out the detail. We only have the creative insight of what's the algorithm, right?
The fun thing was that at the point I could actually apply it to itself. So when it was, when for some reason it no longer produced the right bug, or no longer came up with the right solution, I was able to apply Delta Debugging to itself to find the precise moment where it didn't find this bug anymore. So it immediately became useful to me just as well for my own debugging purposes.
So maybe we could move forward and say this, okay, now it's 2011, you have worked on Delta Debugging, you have actually worked on some other fancy debugging techniques that I recall is where you take two programs that have different heaps, you merge them together to figure out where potential bugs in the heap data structures are. But today we write lots of code that's concurrent code where we have to debug, or maybe it's even code for the cloud. So where do you see debugging going? What is the research challenge? Have you actually solved all the issues? And why didn't actually the practitioners, why don't they get actually those tools that you have actually partly developed? So,
well, the one nice thing is, let me try to order them. The nice thing about Delta Debugging is that it easily generates to any kind of input. So Delta Debugging on changes was the first thing. Incidentally, when I had that, when I sent this off to the conference and was published, afterwards I was approached by researchers who told me, you know, Andreas, something like that could never have appeared at a conference 3 years ago. It's far too simple for that. And I replied, I spent 9 months on making it so simple. It was far more complicated in the beginning. But the good news is that it became general enough, so you could apply it on input, and that's actually it's by far most popular user right now. People at Microsoft use that. Yep. SQL people use that. Google uses this a lot. You can use it for web pages, for anything. It's straightforward if you use it on input. I've also applied this just for fun for other, we can generalize this to any kind of input that influences the program. Program code works, general input works. You can also apply the same thread schedules, for instance, if you want to figure out which part of the thread schedule makes the program fail, for instance. So it's pretty generalizable. The bad news about this is that it requires control. It requires control over the input or over the changes. It also requires an automated test. And actually, when I did Delta Debugging on code changes 12 years ago, and people from industry asked me what was I doing, I'm having this wonderful automated debugging method. I said, it's cool, how can we do that? All you need is a version history and automated test. I said, that's two things we don't have at this point. because people didn't do automated testing, and many people still don't do. And people wouldn't have a version history. Yeah. Well, some people still don't have a version history for reasons that completely escape me, but welcome to the harsh grounds in reality. If you think you do something completely applied, you try to be as minimal as possible in your requirements, and then it turns out it's still far too much for many people.
Yeah.
So you asked why didn't these debugging techniques catch on as they do? I think that the... Well, as soon as you do have an automated test, for instance, there's plenty of things that come automatically with it. It's like as soon as you have a specification, which is of course something you know very well. As soon as you have a specification, everything follows. You can immediately derive an automated test, and as soon as you have an automated test, you have automated debugging. are, if you have a specification, for instance, you can apply all sorts of symbolic techniques and just throw the entire shebang on top of your program, and all the benefits come by themselves. That's good. Problem is, people don't like to specify things. There you start. If you don't like to specify, you probably also don't like to write test cases. Then you cannot benefit from then you cannot benefit from the beauty of these tools. And actually, the mere act of simply writing down what your program is supposed to do already helps you a lot in debugging. It's like talking to somebody else.
Yeah.
When there's been experiments on this. If you simply explain to somebody else what your problem is, in one third of all cases, you get the solution automatically. So all you need to do is just sit there and nod, and you don't understand the thing. But in most cases, or in many cases, that you people talking to you will come up with a solution automatically, just by making things explicit, just by verbalizing. And I think that the problem with debugging is not so much the lack of tools, because we have plenty of tools for debugging and for verification, validation, it's all there. But I think it's actually a lack of rigor when we're developing things. It's also a lack of rigor when we're debugging things. So, as I said, specifications are important. As soon as you write down what your program is supposed to do, it's far easier for a tool to figure out what's wrong. It's also far easier for you to figure out what's wrong. And the second thing is also, as soon as you write down your assumptions, not only about what the program is supposed to do, but also what you observe, for instance, what your hypothesis is. This helps you so much in making your debugging process more controlled and driving you towards the goal. The fun thing about debuggers as we have them today is, you have this wonderful feeling of being so totally in control. So, go forward, go backward, look at this, or go forward again. You step forward, you go through your program, you control it. You're actually the master of things. And this is fun. It's like a big model railway, in a way, where we start the trains and stop them again. And it's all yours. It's your program. You did this. This is so beautiful. Look how it goes along. Okay, this is great, but I think this is distracting in the very end. I think that in the end, what you need to do is you need to follow a rigorous sounds so hard, but simply a systematic way of debugging. So you should, what I'm teaching my students, and what I'm actually doing myself at this point, I'm writing down, this is what I want, this is what I observe instead, this is my first hypothesis. So what the bug could be, so I validate this hypothesis, and I observe something else. I write down the observation again, and why am I writing this down when I keep, most of this stuff is trivial, I could just keep it in my head. The thing is, as soon as I write it down, first thing is, I need to become explicit in my mind in writing that down. The second thing is, I can quit anytime.
Yeah.
I can quit anytime, and I have all my collections in there, any experimental scientist will tell you that's the way you do it, because what you're doing is experimental science. You're trying to figure out the cause for a specific phenomenon, and for that it's essential that you keep a lab journal where you write down everything you see and everything you do. And sure, this is just a systematic way of doing things. For reasons totally unknown to me, when we're debugging, it's still Rambo against the machine in a way, or it's Rambo against the bug. It's nice to see that. It's nice to have these folks spending hours and countless hours debugging, but that's not the way it should be done. Leaving for dinner and being done with everything is probably maybe more boring than staying up all night and fighting with the bug. But for you, as well as for your company and for your program, it's going to be much healthier.
Hmm. So, do you have any special advice for people that, in some sense, still spend lots of time in front of the debugger? What they should ask companies for? What they should actually do in their existing practice? You already mentioned, actually make your hypothesis where the bug is explicit. But is there something that you say is, okay, if we would actually do A, B, C, then we have the silver bullet to kill the beast and find the bugs quickly after we've introduced them in the first place.
Having just had a short conversation with my publisher, my answer is, of course, buy my book. It's called Why Programs Fail and published at Morgan Kaufman. But but seriously, if you come up with if you want to have, say, something like the top remedies for debugging, for me, the top remedy would always be start writing assertions. Okay. Start writing assertions, lots of assertions. Why assertions? Simply because assertions force you, well, first they force you to be explicit, because you really need to write down what your assumptions are in terms of what goes in and what comes out. That's fine. Assertions are super helpful, first for you, because you need to be explicit. Second, they're going to be helpful for you tomorrow when you try to understand your code, or in a month from now. Third, they're going to be helpful for all of you folks, for all the folks who are going to work with your code later on. Because then again, your assumptions and your expectations are written down. And in a much better way than, say, a set of breakpoints in a debugger, which are all volatile in the end.
Yeah.
The next thing is assertions are very good because they will not only help you catch the error at hand, they will catch every single error in the future just as well. They will stay there and they will immediately help you ruling out plenty of causes. The thing is that in a normal debugger, you can explore the values and you can compare every single value against your expectations. This is fine, because you know your expectations and you can check, okay, this is correct, this is incorrect, so far so good. But if you write down your expectations once, you can have the computer check millions and trillions of them at the same time it takes you to watch at these yellow bubbles popping up with the values in there.
Yeah.
And this is, for me, this is one of the biggest disappointments in history, that the concept of code contracts and contract-oriented development didn't catch on with the general public. I understand that in Java, assert is one of the least frequently used keywords ever. It's also one of the most. It's also one of the keywords that was added at the latest to the language. And it's for me this is just sad. If a language like Eiffel, or at least the concept that we have in Eiffel, where people use contracts as built-in features of the language, and I understand that you folks at Microsoft are going into this very direction, I think that the world could have become a much, much better place, and we wouldn't spend so much time debugging. We'd spend much more time reasoning about our code and coming home early.
Yeah. So the way that I really interpret this is that you really want to move quality upstream. So debugging is really, really way too late. By writing the assertions, we make our assumptions explicit, and we do it right at design time. And then we have automatic tools to check them, so that seems to be a better deal.
Yeah, in principle, in a perfect world, we do everything perfect the right time we do it. But in the real world, we don't. In the real world, we always have to deal with changing assumptions, with third-party code, with misunderstanding and everything. Yeah. So there will always be a big need for helps in debugging. But I think that the best help in debugging is help that will not only help you solve the problem at hand, but that will actually remain in your code, that will remain productive, and that will catch future errors. Assertions are perfect at that. That will also help prevent future errors, because assertions are a perfect building block for automated tests. They're perfect building blocks for symbolic verification. All these nice techniques that we're now having in our labs and that will eventually make it to the mainstream in the next decade or so. But if you don't have any specifications, you don't have any errors. You have only surprises, as Kernighan put it. Debugging is a perfect tool. Debuggers, as they are right now, are good for debugging surprises. Hmm. But I'd much rather be in a world where we're debugging errors, and where when an error is fixed, it will be fixed once and for all.
I think that's a wonderful conclusive statement.
Oh, man.
Thanks a lot. So for everyone, I think check out Andreas' website. He gives actually beautiful talks and has, I read his book. It's pretty neat. If you want to understand more about debugging. And so thanks a lot from ICSI 2011.
Excellent.
And see you soon.
Perfect.
Okay.
Thank you.